The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hey.
All right, guys, we're back. This episode is entitled The Gum. This episode finds Kramer trying to work with his old friend Lloyd Braun in an effort to reopen the Alex Theater, which is like an old movie theater in their area. Meanwhile, Jerry is forced to pretend to wear glasses for Lloyd's benefit, which we'll talk about. And Lloyd also dated Elaine at one point, so she's involved in this episode through being his former girlfriend. An old friend who is a friend of Lloyd's and George's thinks that George might be having a mental breakdown himself. What'd you think of this episode?
This is not one of my favorite episodes, but George is doing the heavy lifting here. And it is Jason Alexander's performance in this episode that saves it for me. Kramer is just being obnoxious, and not in like the typical Kramer being obnoxious kind of way, but he's being like really pushy. And I'm not a huge fan of this character to begin with. The fact that Jerry is jumping through hoops to appease, Kramer thinks Lloyd Braun is going to think, like, get out of here, yo. Like, no, we're not friends like that. I'm not doing it. And Elaine's cleavage is nice to look at. So
yeah, it's not bad. Not bad. Don't mind an underwire bra as it goes. Look, I remember this episode being less funny to me than I found it this time. And I think the major reason I found it funny is because Matt McCoy, who plays Lloyd Braun, he cannot keep it straight that entire episode. He is 2 seconds from laughing every moment he is on screen, which is hilarious to me. I agree with you. George is definitely doing the heavy lifting. It's a little weird that Jerry, like, it's very outside of his character for him to be just going along with these like Kramer shenanigans instead of just sort of standing it like an oak next to a river and saying, no, you move, which is what he always does because he's a prick. He has like one moment of it in the beginning of the episode, but then he immediately breaks and then he goes into this like this whole concession kind of thing, which is very out of character for him. Elaine looks great in every scene that they purposely make her look, you know, sexy for or whatever. So I'm fine with that, obviously. But she doesn't have a lot to do in this episode, unfortunately. And then Kramer is just, I don't know. He's just kind of being Kramer for me. Like I didn't really think about him much in this episode at all, even though he's in it a lot.
Yeah. Like he's in the A story, right? Like he's the catalyst for all of this.
Right. I mean, this is one of the rare episodes that they're all dealing with one character, one sort of tertiary character, all pretty heavily in each storyline, right? Like, I will say this, the way in which they portray the perspective of an outside person thinking that George is crazy is fucking hilarious because that story is bonkers. That woman on a horse, she stole $20 from me. Like, you know, he seems like absolutely nuts, but out of context, it's what I always say, like, facts without context mean nothing. Like, because he just seems like a crazy person because you have no context into what he's saying. But I did enjoy like the way in which it's written to make him seem crazy is pretty well done. But it's definitely the best part. So the episode opens with Kramer seeing Jerry and George at Monk's, and they're talking, and Kramer's talking about how he's, you know, reopening this old theater, and they're going to be showing Spartacus with 12 extra minutes in CinemaScope. And that, you know, they should really come down. It's going to be amazing. Right. Look, I'm a sucker for old movie theaters. For people who don't know that about me.
Are you?
Because I am.
Every week on the Nerdpocalypse.
No, I'm never going.
In 30 years.
That was dead.
We're going to be dead.
It is.
And fuck them. And I'm sitting, I'm glad.
No, but no. Let me rephrase that. Like I said, I'm a sucker for old movie theaters, not new movie theaters.
Hey, okay. When last time you've been to the Senator? Shut up.
I went to the Senator not that long before it closed, like before the lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
What'd
you see?
Dude, it's been 7 months. I don't even remember what the last screener I saw. I think it was Avengers Endgame. It feels that fucking long ago. No, my wife and I went to see something at the Senator, like not too long, but like maybe a month before we locked down. Who knows? Are they even still open? Are they? I don't even know. But I do like the like old school movie experience. I'm not enamored by like I like people dressing up in their Sunday best and going into a movie theater and shutting the fuck up. That doesn't exist anymore. People are in jeans.
All right. That's
it's like, remember back when people used to fly on an airplane and, you know, and be nice. Not now. People fist fighting in the aisles and shit. Nobody likes that. It sucks.
People running up and down the aisles yelling Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, you can't.
Like, all right. Get out of
here. You got to just fly that plane into a mountain at that point. So he's trying to reopen this old theater, which is very cool. But Kramer's a complete obnoxious dickhead about it, of course. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm going into business with our old friend Lloyd Braun, who had a nervous breakdown after he lost his job, like the last time they saw him." And Kramer's working with him so he can get the theater a historical, you know, stamp, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And so George is immediately interested in the fact that Lloyd Braun had a mental breakdown because he seemed like such a cool guy back in the day and was so together. And like later on, he tells the story how his parents were like, "Oh," his mom was like, "You should just be more like Lloyd. He's so great. And he's like, "Yeah, look how he turned out." And Jerry's like, "Yeah, he turned out kind of like you." So they have this sort of weird interaction. But back at Monk's, Lloyd comes in, and again, Matt McCoy plays his character really well because he's such a fucking weirdo.
Matt McCoy is the superior Lloyd Braun. Lloyd Braun has been played by two characters. Lloyd Braun has been in three episodes played by two different actors.
Who was the first actor?
The first actor was Peter Kelleghan. And he was in the non-fat yogurt episode.
Oh. Wait. But that wasn't, I thought.
Yes, that is Lloyd Braun.
Oh.
That is the first appearance of Lloyd Braun. And that's how insignificant that actor made Lloyd Braun. Because when you think Lloyd Braun, you see Matt McCoy.
Yeah. Yeah, where's the first both Lloyd Brauns? Like, I got to see the guy's face. Oh, this guy. Yeah, completely insignificant.
Right.
Yeah, wow, okay. Yeah, see, what I was thinking was when you said the non-fat yogurt, I was thinking the James Spader episode when he has to work at basketball. I was like, yo, I would never forget James Spader as a character. He's a fucking lunatic. But yeah, Matt McCoy plays this role perfectly because he's such a fucking weirdo. Like, he's always smiling in a weird way, and I think that's him just trying to keep it together in the episode. I don't think that's how the character was intended to be played at all. But he's just smiling the whole time because he's like, these guys are hilarious, and he's just having such a good time. And probably they just could not get through the takes. This is my guess. And so he offers them. He comes to the table and he offers them some Chinese gum, and they're all eating it. And he offers some to George, and George is like, "Yeah, I don't want any. I don't chew gum. Like, fuck off," basically, because he knows that he's had a mental breakdown. So now he's like, "No, you're not better than me. I'm better than you."
And he hates Lloyd Braun.
Yeah, right? He does.
They went to school together, and like you said, everyone is like, hey, you should be more like this guy. No, fuck that guy.
Yeah, I get it.
Do you have a Lloyd Braun? I don't think I have a Lloyd Braun.
A mortal enemy? I don't have any now. I don't think. Andy said I have mortal enemies. I don't feel like I have mortal enemies.
Wasn't Candace Owens a Lloyd Braun for you?
In high school, yes. Not now.
Yeah, not now. No. No, excuse not me? At all.
Yeah, I had a mortal enemy. I did.
Candace Owens.
We went to a school.
Yeah, no, not
say what the
not,
fuck.
No. Yes, I went to high school with conservative firebrand and terrible haired Candace Owens. No,
yeah, that no. This is a different. I totally. That's how insignificant Republican Candace Owens is to me.
You didn't even think
of Candace Owens. I think of the girl we went to high school with, who doesn't go by Candace Owens on Facebook because obvious reasons, right?
Oh, is that true?
Owens was born in 1989.
What?
I'm sorry.
Wow. Oh, okay. Yeah. We're friends. We're friends on Facebook. No, she is not my mortal enemy. Not at all.
Not anymore.
No, not at all. No problems. Yeah, she was always cute though.
Yeah.
She didn't grow up. Anyway,
she filled out.
Yeah, it's fine. Everything's fine. I did have a mortal enemy then. But no, I don't have, it's so silly. I don't now. I can't imagine you having mortal enemies. Unless
no,
it's like
no, I love everybody.
That's not true at all. No, I feel like your mortal enemy is somebody like it's like Thor in Infinity War, like Noob Gamer 69. There's some gamer out there that you hate. Like that's somebody who killed you in like Call of Duty multiple times. You're like, I fucking hate that guy forever. That's the closest I think you would ever get. Yeah, I just don't see it. So they're fucking mortal enemies. You eating Chinese secret Chinese gum?
I'm not eating American Chinese anything.
I'm with George. I rarely have chewing gum. I'm not a chewing gum guy. Are you a chewing gum guy?
I'm not a chewing gum guy because I already have a very, very long face. So me chewing gum just really like accentuates the horse factor. You know what I'm saying?
Fair enough. I'm not like, well, man, I got to pick up some Wrigley's or whatever, like, or Big League Chew or whatever. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, whatever. Big Red, I guess. I'm not. And like the stand-up Jerry does before the episode, he's like, nobody looks serious when they're chewing gums. Like, oh, yeah, World War II, part of American history? Yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah, that's true. Like, you just don't give a shit. Or it looks like you don't. At the movie theater, Elaine is with Jerry, and she realizes that Lloyd Braun is going to be there, and of course that was her ex. So she kind of freaks out, and he comes up and he's like, "Hey, I got seats for all of us, so we can all sit together." And she's just like, "I don't want to fucking do that." And so she makes up this lie on the spot. Again, Matt McCoy is barely holding it together in this scene, not laughing. But Elaine is like, "Hey, so I'm going to." Jerry forgot his glasses, so we're going to have to sit in the front row. So we can't sit with you guys. And so, sorry, you know, we'll see you after the movie. And so they do what Micah forced me to do during the Spider-Man 2 screening, sit in the very front of the theater while he enjoyed the movie in a comfortable seat. I'll never forgive him for that.
Little known fact for you listening out there, that is the catalyst that started the breakup of Jay and his then girlfriend.
that was the catalyst? How dare you? That was the seed. Once that seed was planted, it was doomed. From that doomed seed was planted and it was over. It only took several years later and it all came to fruition.
So at that point, like, Jerry and Elaine are literally sitting in the front seat with their heads on the back of the seat trying to see the movie. So they had gone to see Spartacus. By the way, George has a great moment, a very Jay moment, where Kramer's like, come on down to see Spartacus. He's like, why would I go see Spartacus in the theaters? I can watch it at home on my television. Kramer says, well, what's the point of going to a fancy restaurant where you can just throw anything into a microwave oven? Which is a great response. Like, all right, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. So George, Elaine, while she's at the movie theater, she's eating popcorn and she makes a mistake and pops off the top button of her blouse and it falls on the ground. More on that later. George goes out to his parents' house to deliver some Christmas gifts, even though they're clearly Jewish. just think it's hilarious. And he runs into a friend of his from high school, and she's there with her dad. Her dad used to work on cars, and her dad's like, "Oh, hey, you got a Chrysler LeBaron?" He's like, "Can I look under the hood? I haven't seen one of these in a long time." And come to find out that like he had a nervous breakdown, and by the time George finds that out from his daughter, he is shown just banging a crescent wrench on the engine because like, he's just crazy. And then George's car ends up having problems later on.
It's the John Voight car.
It is the John Voight car, which George lies to that guy and says, oh, yeah, it's John Voight's car. Like, okay, sure. Elaine and Jerry come out of the movie theater, and Elaine's blouse is wide open because she's missing the button. Yeah. Yeah, it was okay.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
No, she looked great. Elaine is a very attractive woman. She is. I would argue she is sponge-worthy. I would try to see if I could get one or two sponges.
You would use a sponge on her?
I would make sure that she was using one during said coitus, I guess. That's such a terrible word. So Elaine, she comes up out of the theater, and Lloyd Braun is staring at her cleavage because he has eyes. As is Kramer, who bumps into Lloyd Braun, which is hilarious. Look, if they're out there, I'm going to look. It is what it is. She then heads back home, and there's a guy like cleaning the sidewalk of his in front of his store with a hose. And
at first I thought that was Miles Dyson.
Yo, I did too. That's funny. I did too. I was like, you're better, Papa Pope. What the hell are you doing here? You're better than this. Yeah, he's got this. Yeah. He really does look like him. So that guy was just staring. Like, he's like super staring at her as she walks by. And Elaine stops a local cop and she's like, hey, can you tell that guy not to use a hose and just use his broom? And the cop is staring at her boobs so hard. He's like, you convince me, lady. He's like, hey, buddy, put that hose away. You know, cops are the worst. Just the goddamn worst. So George, by the way, is convinced that the woman at Monk's, the cashier at Monk's, did not give him the correct change when he paid the other day. So all he right. says so that he paid with a 20.
He said he paid with a 20 and he only gave her change for, a 10, you know, as if he gave her a 10 and so he's not out 20 bucks. He's out 10 bucks. Right? Right. But he keeps saying he's out 20 bucks. The cashier's name in the show is Ruthie Cohen. The actress's name is Ruth Cohen.
Okay.
This is the first dialogue and credited appearance from her. She has been in, this is episode 120. She has been in total 101 episodes. She is the most frequent character besides the four main cast. She has been in the majority of these episodes,
and she gets one speaking role once.
And this is her big acting debut in Seinfeld.
She was fine. Yeah. I mean, she's part of a really great joke series of jokes. So
yeah,
I mean, that is pretty cool. So Lloyd, Braun, and Kramer come back to Jerry's house, and Jerry is pretending to wear glasses and is being like an uppity asshole about it. He's like, oh, Lloyd, Braun can get more gum. I'm sure he can do whatever he wants, which is the number one reason to wear glasses if you don't, is to pretend to be smart like I do.
You hated your glasses, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, I have, as I've gotten older, I have glasses here. Like if I'm staring at my computer for too many hours or I need to like read a lot of detailed shit, then I need my glasses. Cause so this is my eyes get tired.
What is it like to have inferior vision? Because I've never needed, I've never needed glasses.
I wouldn't know. I have laser eyes now. So it felt like one thing and then it felt like something else. Now I am superior. What's your vision? Do you know? Is it 20/20?
It was 15/20.
Fuck off.
As I've gotten older, it's like
20/21.
Last time I had it checked, it was 30/20. So I'm getting there.
Yeah. My vision was pretty bad. Like, I want to say like it was probably I had a thing on my license where if I was pulled over and I didn't have contacts on, I am driving legally blind.
Yo, what is your problem?
Yeah. Yo, it was like almost 2200. Yo, my vision was like I might as well have not had eyes. Like they were that fucking bad. Like, Jesus. like legitimately, my vision was horrible. Like I couldn't wake before I had laser eye surgery. I couldn't wake up and read an alarm clock. Like if it had like a digital alarm clock, there's no way I could read that. No, I would have to be like, I'd have to get like right up on that shit in order to see it. Like no. Mm-mm. That was my one thing. That's how I knew the shooting the lasers directly into my pupils worked. Because after I woke up after the surgery, I could see my alarm clock. I was like, aha,
Jesus.
Which is a weird. It's a weird experience. It's a very fucking weird experience.
Well, I can imagine, right?
Yeah, like, I was 25. Yeah, I was fucking 25 before I had it done.
My wife hates wearing glasses. She will wear contacts like around the house. You know what
just
I mean?
Get laser like, eye surgery.
No, we're not rich like you. And so she
y'all fucked up and had a kid. That's see, you could have had laser shot in your eyes instead. Selfish.
But she can't stand glasses and it's my I sometimes I have glasses envy. Because I got like really sleepy, like baggy eyes. Like I hate my face. Like everything about my face is fucking weird.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you.
And if I had my druthers, like I feel like I would look good in a pair of glasses.
You can just get glasses with no prescription.
That's obnoxious, dude. That's obnoxious.
I actually think I look good in glasses. I wore glasses for a long time. So
I mean, you look smarter with glasses, right? Like,
it's all about perception.
Somebody looks smarter because they wear glasses. That's the weirdest fucking thing.
It is. But it's because nerds wear glasses
because their eyes fucking suck.
Yeah, I know. There's a direct correlation between being blind as fuck and being smart. I guess I have no idea. I don't know.
You know, it's the whole like stereotypical nerd thing, right?
That's like so weird. Like most nerds have trash eyes. Like, whatever.
Well, I imagine it's like Daredevil, right? Like when you lose your vision, other things are heightened. Like shitty eyes, your brain is like, hold on, I'll just I'll tick up a couple, tick up a couple degrees. I don't know. No, I like it's kind of funny now, like having to choosing to wear. Like I don't have to wear them 98% of the time, but like I can afford to get like nice pairs of glasses. Like, ooh, I'll get these like super fancy ones because I'm gonna have them for a long ass time. Not like when I wore them every day and just like they're falling off your face and getting stomped on and shit. I'm like, yo, give me the cheapest, give me whichever ones the military gives you when you join, right? Everybody looks like a fucking loser, right? Like those are the ones I want to wear. But now
everybody
looks
like they should be playing in Weezer.
Right, exactly. But like I spent time like looking up, like looking these glasses up and like finding the place that had them. So like there was only like you could only find these in like a couple places in Maryland and in New York. And I was like, I want those glasses. Cool. But that's because I've had them now for like 5 years. So, you know, I spent more than I probably should have, but I don't, you know, but I don't buy glasses every 2 years now. So that's like, it's not a big deal.
But touching my eyes with contacts and shit like that. Like my wife does that. And yeah. I'm just like,
I want contacts for a little bit.
Nope.
It's, can't do it. It's hard in the beginning, but once you get used to it, it's not so bad. But yeah, it's not a fun time that first couple of times you have to do it. Yeah, Terrence, I know you're shaking your head. Hell no.
Just give me the glasses.
Just give me the glasses, though.
Yeah.
I'll wear two monocles if I had.
Fair enough. Like, you want glasses? Nah, fuck it. Make it harder for me just so I don't have to wear contacts. Yeah, contacts are, I mean, they work. As I've gotten older, I'm like, there's no way I would go through the rigmarole of that. Like, you saw how quickly I put on my glasses? That's how long it takes.
Right.
Done. But I think wearing glasses is more of a fashion statement now than it was when I was in fucking middle school, where they were just, or in high school, or even college, right? It was just like, you're a fucking loser. Now people are like, oh, this person's wearing glasses. Like, actors, when they want to seem cooler or more interesting, they wear glasses in an interview. I'm like, motherfucker, right. Do they also even have, like, are they just frames?
Right. Do they even have lenses?
Right. You just put your finger through it. Like, Chris Hemsworth, take those off. Right. And he's like, no, I'm smart. So back in this episode, there's a scene where Kramer tries to eat a whole old hot dog and throws up, which he deserved because that hot dog was disgusting. Jerry is wearing even more ridiculous glasses around Lloyd Braun so that he can feel like he's not lying to him.
Yeah, he's got like Mr. Magoo glasses.
Right. Yeah, I'm not wearing those.
Get out of here, man.
Shoot lasers directly into my face at that point. Fuck that noise. Then Elaine comes back after Kramer throws up on the sidewalk in front of Papa Pope's store. She's like, hey, weren't you supposed to put your hose away? And the guy's like, yeah, but how do you know that? And, you know, obviously her white womanhood dimed her out. And when that guy
she does what all white women do when they get checked.
Officer?
Right.
So at that point, the guy goes to tell his friend that she's the one who dimed him out, and he mistakenly sprays her with a hose. So when Elaine gets back to the movie theater where Lloyd Braun is, who he thinks she's trying to hit on him to get him back, she's soaking wet. Again, it's fine.
They're yeah, not, I got no problem with that.
Yeah, they're not amazing, but I'm okay with it. They're correct for her body, so that's good for her. And they weren't made of plastic, which is getting old. So George's friend, whose dad was the mechanic, she comes to see him and she's like, look, I think you might be fucking crazy, dude. like you got all the signs just like my dad. And he's looking all disheveled. He's in the city. And she's like, I suppose Lloyd Braun has something to do with this. And he's like, there was a lady on a horse and she stole money from me. And the guy with the hose, he's over there. And that guy's saying stuff about me. Like, he just seems like a crazy person. But all of these things happen, but there's just no context to it. Yeah, and he's like, yeah, the flower guy. He's like, look, I know this all sounds a little crazy and everything else. And then he goes, oh, there's my friend, Jerry Seinfeld. He's right there. He'll explain everything. And Jerry's in the car, but he's got the huge glasses on, so he can't see George. And he just turns to him like a crazy person and then just drives off. And he's like, yeah, that's my friend, but he doesn't wear glasses normally.
Well, clearly that man was wearing glasses. Yeah. Like it's the funniest part of this episode, man. And it's really good, like, plotting
yeah
to get, you know, from A to B. with George and this particular little side story.
Right. When they get to when Jerry goes with Lloyd Braun to the Chinese place to get the gum, because he can't see, he mistakenly gives Lloyd Braun $100. And Lloyd Braun comes back with like a ton of this chewing gum that earlier Jerry said tastes like lo mein, which is disgusting.
That's gross.
Yeah. Just tell him you don't want any ever, or just do what I do. Just avoid people's text and just send you something uncomfortable. It's like, I'm just not going to respond. Kramer goes to see the guy, Mr. Harwood, in reference to something about the movie theater, I think to return his glasses or whatever. And he sees a costume of Henry VIII. And he's like, oh, can I borrow that for the screening tonight? And he's like, look, only a short, fat man basically could wear this. And so he gets George to wear it. And so then that woman sees George and thinks he's a crazy person for wearing this Henry VIII outfit out. Meanwhile, George had also tried to slip that 20 that he thought he gave to that woman to a cashier to buy some gum, and it turns out it was Larry David.
Yeah, this is Larry David's last on-screen appearance.
Oh, interesting.
He does a couple of voices later on, but this is his last on-screen appearance in Seinfeld.
Then Mr. Harwood comes to the theater, and Elaine notices that he is wearing the antique button that he found there that belonged to her blouse, and she's like, oh, that's mine, you know, and he's like, oh, okay, no problem, and she goes to take it off of his ascot, and it looks like she's flirting with this old man, and as Lloyd Braun is watching, and he's like, oh, your friend needs to get it together. Because apparently she'll fuck anybody.
Yeah, including you, dummy.
Yeah. Very weird. This episode is, again, the George part is the very, very funny part of it.
Yeah, and the George thing is the thing that kind of holds this episode for me. It's a take it or leave it episode. It is not the best appearance of Lloyd Braun. That will come later in season 9.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay. Not the worst episode in my opinion, but
no, I know which one the worst one is. Isn't that in this season?
I think it is. Yeah. And I'm really not looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am. Absolutely. All right, that's it for us. We will see you guys next week with another episode of Airing of Grievances.
See ya.
Bye. Bow, 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 bow.
Really?